I want to talk to you tonight about winners are grinners. Winners are grinners. For those who don't know, my background was a professional tennis player. I was one of these up-and-coming young Aussies. Became a Christian at 18 years of age and laid down my professional tennis career just when it was about to fly, as I felt God asked me to lay it down. 2 weeks later, I have a dream about Glasgow. I'm not big on dreams. I don't believe every dream is spiritual. I've probably had two spiritual dreams in my life. But I had one 2 weeks after I gave up my tennis. I was at first week of Bible college, and I had a dream what I thought was a massive ice rink. Walked into the middle of the ice rink. Now I think represents the cold. But I walked into the middle of the ice rink, and the whole crowd began to chant the name Glasgow. Glasgow, Glasgow. And I woke up thinking, what a silly dream. Told the friend of mine who was the principal of the Bible college, who happened to be from the United Kingdom. I said, Robert, I said, they'll change his funny name, Glasgow. He goes, that's a place in Scotland. This is in 1992. I just played the Australian Open. And I in my heart, when he said, that's a place in Scotland, I said, oh, dear God, please don't send me there. I didn't tell him that. But he, every now and again, people used to say to me, what are you going to do with your life? And I say, I'm in Sydney for life. This is what I'm called to be. But I think I'm going to do a crusade in Glasgow one day. And people say, what? Oh, to plant a church. I go, no, crusade, in and out. Then in 2004, felt that stirring of the Holy Spirit, that still small voice say, would you do a church in Glasgow? Of which I said, yes, Lord, but I don't want to. I really don't want to. I'll do it, but I don't want to. Then it became obvious, so we ended up arriving in April 2005. And had an amazing journey ever since. But I want to encourage you on a few things tonight about winning in life and what it takes to win in life. And every person in this room can win. I don't care who you are, what background you had, what things have happened to you. I'm not diminishing the stuff that's happened to you. Everyone has a story. Everybody has a scar, and potentially some in the room still have a wound tonight. But there are things in your life that you can use to propel you forward if you will allow it. Winning in life is not a formula. It's not something that, you know, you go A plus B plus C. How many know life is very complicated? Not many. Life a little bit complicated. Have you got a friendship? How many know friendships are complicated? Are you married? How many know marriage is complicated? Life is complicated, and somehow in the mix of it all, we're going to try and work out how to move forward and how to do it all. And that's what I just want to touch on a little bit with the time that I have with you, on how to win more in life, and maybe cover a little bit of the difference between success and failure. I made up my mind years ago that I would take the word failure out of my vocabulary. I know I don't always hit it out the park. I know I don't always produce a result, but I decided to take failure as a pushing down of who I am. But for the sake of the message tonight, I'm going to use the word failure to help you to understand what winning can do for your life. Is that okay? If you got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to go through a few verses. We're going to go to Psalm 37 verse 5. If you want to just listen, that's cool as well. But let me read it to you tonight. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Get that? That's a good starting point. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him and He will do this. I love it. Commit your ways to the Lord and He will do it. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27 says this, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Would you all agree? Are you with me so far? Then Paul goes on and says, run in such a way as to get the prize. In other words, win. Run in such a way that you win. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training So you got to work out, how am I going to win the prize? Well, he's just giving you a hit. You got to go into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. If you've never done a study on the crowns, you want to get one. Why? Because it'll stir you up in the kingdom life on a different level. When you realize everything you do in this life counts for the next life, I tell you, there are crowns to get. And I don't know about you, but I want something on my head when I arrive to heaven. I'm going to get to heaven because of Jesus. Have we settled that yet? You make heaven because of what Christ has done for you and your acceptance of him into your life. You receive his love, you receive his... That's eternity with him. But in terms of the prizes, in terms of how you live in heaven, comes from what you do on earth right now. So do a study on the crowns. So Paul just mentioned one of the crowns right in this particular passage. He says, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. In other words, I don't shadow box. Shadow boxers aren't really competing. They are, you ever seen a shadow boxer training? Well, you would have heard the news this week about Muhammad Ali, how he passed away and how the world is now totally mourning. You know, in my opinion, he is probably the greatest of all the boxers that have been around. But hey, that's just an opinion. But you'd watch Muhammad Ali, who used to be incredible as a shadow boxer. Man, he could do the Ali shuffle and dance and box, box, bang, bang. But how many know he wasn't just a shadow boxer? He could pull it off in the ring. So Paul's going, hey, you just can't be one that kind of boxes and looks the part but never does anything about it. You can't be one who just sits on the sidelines and yabbers away to everybody else on how they should do it. You got to be the kind of one who gets inside the ring. Am I making sense so far? He says, no, I strike a blow to my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified for the prize. In other words, he's saying if you're just a talker friend, you don't get the prize. It requires action to get a prize. It requires being in the game to get the prize. Let me ask you a question. Please don't shout out the answer, but in yourself, answer the question. And the question is simply this: do you learn more from failure or from success? What do you learn more from? Every time I do this exercise, I do it, what I talked about this morning in our iLead organization that I run, and we go around corporate, unemployed, and we go through, you know, schools, and we always ask this question: do you learn more from failure or more from success? And 99% of people say failure. And I go, You don't learn more from failure. You learn more from success. And that's what I want to teach you about tonight. Learning from success more than you do from failure. And if you can get this principle in life, you'll aim a lot more at success than at the mistakes that you've made. Because there's some negative things that can happen in your mistakes, and there's some fantastic things that happen when you have success. I've just read to you in Psalms that if you would commit your ways to the Lord, God will make it a success. God said to Joshua that if you'll meditate in my word day and night, whatever you put your hand to, I will make you a success. Success is a Bible word. It's for the believer. And I like to muck around that winners are grinners. You can tell winners by the smile on the dial. I've never seen anybody win a trophy yet and be unhappy. You know, when the Wimbledon champion comes up and he wins it, and Andy Murray wins Wimbledon, even Andy Murray rejoices when he wins a Wimbledon crown. And I tell you something, why? Because win is something of a celebration that goes off when you're beginning to win in life. Failure will tell you how something doesn't work. That's what failure does. It tells you, hey, that doesn't work that way. But here's the thing about failure. It doesn't tell you how it works. It just tells you how it doesn't work. So growing up in a sporting culture, you know, whether it be on a professional tennis court or whether I was learning how to surf as a young kid, I would ask some people, how do you body surf? Where do you get on the wave? Because how many know there are some things in life you don't want to learn the hard way? You want to learn from someone else's mistakes or someone else's failure so you don't have to go through the stuff that others have gone through. So learning how to body surf, we would kind of get into the wave, swim out the back, and the waves would start to build up. And when you were learning, you would get the timing wrong. Sometimes you would swim early. Boom, boom. And this 6-foot wave would land on top of you and smash you. How many know that's a failure? Now, we thought it was fun because we used to think it was fun getting smashed. But it was a failure moment. But it didn't tell me how to do it. It just says it doesn't work that way. Then I had to go back out again. And then you go, right, I'm not going to go early. That thing smashes you when you go early. So I'll just back off a bit. Now I'm a little bit nervous because I just got smashed. I'm a little bit hesitant. So now I try and catch the wave and I catch it late. So what happens then is I get on the top of the lip of the wave and all of a sudden I'm in midair because now I'm free falling and I get smashed. And so now I go, that doesn't work. Lesson number two, going early and going late doesn't work. Until finally someone says to you, or you pick it up yourself, you go, I've got to get somewhere in the middle. And when I get that somewhere in the middle, as the wave is breaking, I can feel the suction coming back. And as I swim, I only need to do one or two strokes and I'm on that wave. And then the beautiful experience of riding the wave, either across the wave or all the way into the beach. And you go, that's success. Here's the thing. There are some things in life you don't want to learn the hard way. There are some things in life you just want to take it from someone else's experience. Learning from success. Because success tells you this is how you do it. This is how you move forward. See, growing up, I think I've been reasonably clued up on this. I was never highly educated. I left school at 16. I was just a sports head. I'm all for education, by the way. I'm not against education for a second. But my understanding of education, it's built for doctors. It's built for lawyers. It's built for people who need the education. And so at 16, I'm going, what the heck am I reading stuff about botanist stuff? I'm not going to be a botanist. I'm all for expanding your understanding of knowledge, but I'm thinking, what am I going to use? My mum and dad were smart. They said, he's as bit thick as bricks with this stuff. He better leave school as well. So I left school and I pursued a career and I learned life experience that my educated friends didn't have. Got saved at 18. Doing what we're doing today. Now my eldest daughter has finished school. She's having a gap year, who may go to university. My son, who's just turned 17 last November, didn't like school. He's going, Dad, I don't like it. Wants to be a professional footballer. I said, Joel, leave. Leave school. He looked at me shocked. He goes, well, what do you mean? I said, just leave. I'm okay with it. He goes, what will the school teachers say if I want to leave? I said, I promise you, Joel, you go to your school teachers tomorrow and you ask them if they are living their dream. And I promise you, 95% of them will say no. And they're trying to get you to follow their path. I said, listen, go what's in your heart. And I tell you, ever since then, he's been a new man. I said, isn't this a funny thing though? I said, your dad, who at 16 left school, because that's what I felt was I wanted to do. Now I had a life change at 18. And now the dad who left school, not highly educated, did 2 years of Bible college, but it wasn't intellectual Bible college. It was like a character change of 2 years as opposed to head knowledge. I learned a whole bunch of stuff. It was all about me changing who I was. That was the main emphasis of it. And then I started serving on too. And now these days, your dad, who is uneducated, in his church, has doctors, has lawyers, has dentists, has the high medical field, who are all brilliant. And I said, I get to lead them all. Listen, don't box your own life. Don't box who you can become in life. Society might want to push you in a funnel. Well, that funnel might be right for you, but it may not necessarily be right for you. And if you're going to learn to win in life, if you're going to learn to become all that you're going to become in life, you got to be cool with who God's made you to be. If you're introverted, it's cool, friend. And likewise, if you're extroverted, it's cool, friend. Or maybe you're somewhere in between. It doesn't matter what you've been made in today. It's totally fine. And if you'd be comfortable in your skin, you're going to learn to win a whole lot more. But if you get funneled into being something that you're not, you're going to live frustrated, not really understanding how to be successful, only learning how things don't work for you constantly. Never getting to a point of going, actually, I would like to know how to do these things. So growing up, I began to realize I need to ask questions. I don't know how to do things, and I don't want to learn the hard way. So I began to ask people, how do you do married life well? How do you do this stuff good, man? I've never been married before. How do you do this? I don't want to learn the hard way. I want to find out from someone who seemingly has got a great marriage. You go, let me pick your brains. When we started to have kids, we'd go to people, how do you do it? This is the biggest thing on the planet, bringing up kids. And I've never read a book. I don't know how to do it. Could you please teach me how you've done it so well? And as my kids have moved into teenage years, I go to people that have had teenagers and go, how did you do it? Why? I'm wanting to learn from their successes, not my failures. Because some things in life, you only have one shot. Other things in life, you can have multiple shots. But there are some things in life are so big and so important, you only get one shot. And you got to know the differences between those things. I don't want to learn the hard way that adultery kills marriages. I want somebody to say, hey, adultery kills marriages. And learn it that way as opposed to the experiential side of it and then wrecking my life. How many know what I'm talking about? I want to learn from other people's great ways of moving forward. That's what success does for you. Champions aren't people who just appear out of nowhere. There's deliberate purpose, there's technique, there's drive, there's character, there's all these different things that take place. Can I give you a few things about success and failure? Number one, success grows confidence and failure undermines confidence. That's why you learn more in success than you do failure. So Paul the Apostle's going, hey, get into the race. Start running in the lane that God's got for your life. And run in such a way, don't just run. This is what Christians do too often. They just think it's a casual walk. He says, run in such a way to get the prize. What's the prize? The crown of finishing with the Lord Jesus. There's the prize. He wants you to receive. And he says, run in such a way that you get it. See, when you fail in an area, come on, how many have ever failed? My hand's up. Like I said, I've taken the word out, but for the sake of this message, I'm trying to help some people. And you have that moment where you went, that didn't work. You got stung. Maybe someone here tonight, you started a business and it went pear-shaped on you. You know, you might call it failure. I would call it something else. But just for the sake of tonight, you might go, I failed, man. It didn't work. And so any thought of you stepping into a business again freaks you out because of the moment. But here's my encouragement. If your aim could go past your failure and start looking at success, start finding business people who know how to do it. Start finding guys that have cut through in the area you're cutting through and start learning from, start buying them a coffee, start hanging out with them. Run in such a way that you can win the prize. Who you hang around, you become like. I was sitting with four teenagers last week who are unemployed. And I did an iLead session with them. It was a fun time. And we were just talking life. We were just talking about you know, how to move your life forward and all the different things. And I said to them, they know I'm a pastor, but I'm not preaching Jesus at them. I'm just teaching them life principles. So they one day they ask me, where do you get this stuff from? Then I can bring it to them. So I'm talking to them and I said to them, I can read your destiny. I can predict your future. And I said, I'm not a tarot card reader. I said, I want you to write down right now your five closest friends. And what I mean your five closest friends, I mean the people that you confide in and the people that confide into you. Who are those five people in your life? I said, you have a look at those five people and you will start to work out by the time you're 22 what you're going to be doing. If those five people are unmotivated, don't have a vision for their life, don't have an expectation to get out of bed in the morning, where do you think you're going to be at 22? It's not hard to work out your future. Just have a good look at the five closest voices in your life. And if you want a bigger, a larger, a more impacting type of life, am I talking to anybody tonight? Then you need to work out who's going to be the five closest voices to you. I'm very choosy as to who speaks into my life. I'm very choosy on what I listen to. In fact, Proverbs says this, a wise man chooses his friends wisely. You know, you have a choice tonight of who your friends are. You have a choice of what is going to be spoken into your life. Are you around an environment that is pushing you down or lifting you up? Are you in an environment where your friends keep stopping you moving forward because they don't want you to grow? Come on. You're getting too full on for God. You're getting too excited about Jesus. You're going too much for the kingdom of God. You just need to pull back a little bit. Why do people who are in that place want to pull you back? Because they in their own life start to get a little bit of conviction about you wanting to go forward. So can I encourage you tonight, if you want to learn to become a winner in life on a practical level, you're already a winner because Jesus is in your life. But if you want to walk that out in your day-to-day life, you've got to choose your friends wisely in terms of who speaks into your life on a regular basis. You might hear, but you don't have to hear. Is that making sense? Second thing about success and failure is that success generates momentum and failure stops momentum. Because you trip over, right? You've been running. Boom. I trip over. I lose all momentum. Now the fighter gets back up on the track. How many have seen the Olympics where someone's tripped over and they get back up? But at that moment when they trip over, they have lost all momentum. But the one that's still in the race and running and moving forward, they have got continuous momentum in their life. And that's why I want to encourage you. I'm not sure what the Preston culture is. I just know what the Scottish culture is. And the Scottish culture is, long as we get close, that's good enough. We don't have to win, hence we're not probably in the Euros. Long as we don't get thrashed. But something in the culture is starting to shift. I thank God for people like Andy Murray, because he is breaking culture. He is breaking culture. He's winning Grand Slams. Sure, he's been runner-up in quite a few, but he's starting to break through. He's won an Olympic gold. He's won a Wimbledon and a US Open. And Paul is using everyday language to help us understand spiritual truth. See, the culture in Scotland for a large degree is long as the All Blacks don't thrash us, long as we get close, we feel like we won. I go, no, you knucklehead, you lost. How many know 10 inches from the kingdom is still out of the kingdom? It don't matter whether you're 1,000 miles from the kingdom of God or 10 inches from the kingdom of God. If you're not in, you're not in. So near enough is not good enough. And if you get that on the inside of your spirit, you're going to miss out on tremendous opportunities of winning. You've got to get this thing on the inside. I'm going to win. Let me ask you a question tonight, and you can answer this for yourself. Is winning an option? And if you go, it's the only option, then you're probably in a good place. If you go, right, winning in my marriage is the only option, you're in a good place. If you go, winning and raising my kids to be the best that they can be is the only option, you're in a good place. If you're going, man, I'm going to raise finances so I can be a blessing to my generation is the only option, then you're in a good place. Wherever there is option, you're more open to failure. I'll say that again. Where you are open to option, you're more open to failure. So what are the non-negotiables of your life? What's the stuff that's not an option? I'm sure Ed and Michelle have got it on the inside. We have no option other than build a fantastic church here in Preston. There is not an option. I didn't go to Scotland just to build a big church. I went to Scotland to change a nation. And that's the only option for me. I might as well just hang in Australia. Chill out in paradise. That's where all the English sent the convicts over. To paradise. Hanging out on coconuts and bananas and mangoes. But no, when I came to Scotland, I went, we're going to build a great church here. A nation-shaking church. There is no other option. I took failure out of my vocabulary years ago. It's not an option. Do we have difficult times? Yes, plenty of them. Right now in my season of life, I'm in the best of season and I'm in the worst of season. How many know those tensions seem to run constantly? There's some fantastic things going on and there's some ugly things going on. And if you understand that's the part of life that is causing you to be sharper and stronger and for you to be stepping up into a greater level in life, don't get put off just because you're having some opposition in your life. But if you have an optional out, you'll find a way out. You'll find a way out. I remember sitting with a guy who was having marriage difficulties. He was being a knucklehead. And I'm sitting with him and I'm talking to him about, you know, man, come on, we can make this thing work. The girl was awesome that he was married to, but they were having a difficult season. And he said something to me and my ears pricked up when he said it. He said this, I think she would be better off without me and find someone better. Sounded spiritual. And I said to him, you want out. It was starting to become an option to him. And as the result, it became an out. Can I encourage you? You've got to have some things in your life where you go, that's not an option. That's not an option. Now, you might trip every now and again, even on the option, the non-optionals. But if you've got that inside your spirit, come on, you can win in life. You can move forward in your finances. You can move forward in your relationship. You can move forward in your effectiveness in what you are believing for. But you've got to have this no option mentality. Confidence and faith aren't for the gifted. They are given to humanity. Every person on the planet has been given faith. Every person has got faith. God gives every person a measure of faith. Some people have weak faith. Some people have no faith. Doesn't mean they don't have it. It's just that it's non-existent. Some people have strong faith and other people have growing faith. You can read about all four in the Bible. And I want to encourage you, because God has put faith inside your heart, faith inside your life, you have the ability to move that thing. You actually don't need to pray for more faith. You have enough faith on the inside of you to do what God's asked you to do. You don't need any more faith. In fact, every time you ask God for more faith, you're undermining already what God's given you. So when you're going, God, give me more faith, he's going, I've given you faith. Start working it. Start using it. Start moving it. Start heating it up. That's what faith can be done. You can start your faith by a confession of your mouth, starting to hear great things come out of your mouth. People often ask me, because of my background, what's the difference between Murray and Djokovic? They often ask me that question. What do you think the difference is? And I said, well, I think they hit the ball as well as each other. I think they run around the court as well as each other. I think they serve. I think the fitness will be very little. I think most things are identical in terms of talent and stand. So they go, what's the difference? And I said, I think, in my opinion, one word separates them in big moments, and that's the word confidence. I was talking to a coach who doesn't come to my church. He's not a Christian. And we were talking about, I said, I've observed Djokovic when he plays matches, because I study people. And I'm watching Djokovic, and he does this little quirky thing when he's under pressure. I notice the chest goes back and a smile comes on his face. If you ever watch tennis and you'll see in pressured moments, he does this. Now that's his little way, I think, of going, I'm about to lift this thing. Have you got one of those? When you're under pressure, what do? Go sit on the toilet. I'm under pressure. What do? How's your response? See, here's the thing. What you are training in, you are constantly forming. And God is not out of the picture in all these things. God is in the picture. But if God has already provided everything you need to live out a life of godliness, then God's not the issue. Come on, I said, oh, it's a bit quiet now. Oh, I thought God was going to do it. No, friend, God won't do what he's already done.
That's right. Yeah. Good.
Someone's got to tell you. Most will be the Aussie. I'm sure you hear this regularly anyway. God won't do what he's already done. How many know God doesn't shove food in your mouth? But he'll provide you a brain. He'll provide you hands. He'll provide you wisdom. He'll provide you all the stuff that you need to go and get what you need to get to feed your life. Isn't that awesome? And so success is a great learner of life. Create a win. Can I get you, if you happen to be taking notes, I'm just going to get you started on a little exercise. And then I'm going to close the service. Can you write three things down this week that you won in? Three things that you won in. I guarantee you they are there. If you're finding it a little bit challenging, that's okay. It's just that you don't train yourself this way. And I'm going to give you a little exercise to maybe kickstart you training a different way. Maybe this training is going to help you to start going, I'm going to start seeing what I'm doing as good. Maybe you see negativity in your life far too much. Maybe you see what you're not doing in your life and you constantly see failure, so you have no momentum. I want you to see something of momentum in your life tonight. Write down, if you can't think it right now, that's okay. Before you go to sleep tonight, write down three things that you won this week. It might be as simply as, man, I rang a friend who was in need. That's a win. It could be, man, I went for a job interview that I was totally freaking out about. And I went for it. That's a win. You got to start seeing your wins, because this stuff is building confidence in your life. And God is merciful on many fronts. But let me tell you something. We have to make the decisions to move it forward in Jesus' name.